to the Pink Shirt Pod, a Crokinole podcast. I am your host, Andrew Hutchinson. In this podcast, I will seek to provide an in-depth exploration of interesting and relevant topics in the competitive Crokinole world. Today's episode will be a bit shorter. First, I will be joined by Jason Molloy to preview the 2024 US Open. Then I will touch briefly on the recent NCAA Tour structure announcement and look at the Crokinole UK Tour standings. But first, here's my interview with Jason Molloy. Today with me on the Pink Shirt Pod, once again, is Jason Molloy to talk about the upcoming US Open tournament. How's it going today, Jason?
Great, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the Pink Shirt Pod.
All right, so we'll jump right into previewing the US Open that's coming up later in April. So I guess my first question or statement slash question is, I don't really need to publicize this tournament, eh? Like, tell us about your record-setting registration.
Yeah, well, what was it? Last year we had 32 teams, and this year we decided to bump it up some more to 42 teams. And we weren't sure. We knew that like we would get like the majority of the slots filled somewhat quickly, but we weren't sure if we were going to get 42 teams. That's why we're like slowly, incrementally like raising the attendance. But yeah, we actually on January 1st we told everybody when we were going to open up registration. So we told everybody like the fall and the year before, just so people can get plans and like, you know, if they were going to come for traveling, they could, you know, get everything in order. But yeah, we started open registration on January 1st at noon. And 90 minutes later, all 42 spots were filled up. So, and that was, we didn't expect that to be that fast. We expected it to be somewhat fast, but not that fast. So yeah, we were pleasantly surprised about that. It takes off pressure and it also puts pressure on, you know, for preparing for the tournament.
Yeah, that was incredible. I remember just checking probably on Facebook, probably, I don't know, 1:15 p.m. of that day, and seeing that there's an update on Facebook saying only two spots left or something like that. And I rushed to message my partner, Jeremy, to see had we registered yet, because I thought we would have a day, a couple of days, a week, whatever. But for it to fill up so quickly just goes to show how much demand there is for this event. So yeah, it's a great sign of a strong event that so many people want to make sure that they sign up for the tournament. So that's great. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I we also just don't want it to be restrictive either, but like, this is what we can do at this time. We want everyone to come, but unfortunately, like we have somewhat space issues and we're just figuring it out. So we want everyone to come to Voorheesville and play in the US Open, but it's we're still figuring that out.
Yeah, and that's fair. Like, it's, there's always those logistical concerns. Most notably is finding the space and doubles. It takes, yeah, there's just limitations on the table setup to ensure there's enough space. So yeah, but that being said, 42 is a huge number for a doubles tournament. So yeah, very impressive. So as mentioned, this is like the biggest field yet, 10 more teams than the previous year. And from what I can tell from registration, it also has the greatest geographic representation that of any of your tournaments to this point. So can you share some statistics or interesting information on some of the states and clubs represented for this tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. There are four countries represented: the USA, Canada, Sweden, and England. There are 16 states slash provinces. You want me to go through those?
Sure, I'd be
New
interested.
York. All right. Well, New York, North Carolina, Virginia, Connecticut, Missouri, Ohio, Texas, Maryland, Ontario, South Carolina, Engelholm, that's from Sweden, Vermont, Oregon, Denver, Illinois, and Maine. So yeah, we're spread out, pretty far in the United States, Canada, and all the way over there from Sweden and England too. So we're actually thrilled, and so humbling to, to conceive that. You know what I mean? We're really, it kind of gets us nervous that all these people are traveling so far to the event, and we got to make sure that we, we come through for them. But yeah, so 16 states and provinces. There's 21 crokinole clubs represented. That all five extra pint clubs: Voorheesville, Houston, Dallas, Toledo, New Hampshire, the Brooklyn Crokinole Club, Connecticut Crokinole Club, Queen City, Kansas City Crokinole Club, Charm City, the London Crokinole Club, Waterloo, Charleston, Cleveland, Engelholm's Crokinole Club, Lake Champlain Crokinole Club, St. Jacobs, the Denver, Greater Boston, Windy City, and Lake George Flickers are represented, are going to be representing their clubs at the tournament this year.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I remember when we were discussing the tournament last year, you mentioned something to the effect that it's not just a tournament, it's kind of like, I forget the exact wording you used, but something like a conference of clubs, and even more so this year, where it's or a convention of clubs where different people who have started clubs or are participating in clubs have a chance to kind of get together, meet in person, and kind of discuss how their club is doing, get sharing ideas and all that. So it looks like that will happen again informally, and to an even greater extent this year.
Yeah, it's certainly we call it a celebration of Crokinole, and what happens is it turns into like a workshop for especially U.S. clubs, U.S. Crokinole club leaders. Everyone's there, discussing like what they're going to be doing, what tournaments they're going to be holding, how to run things. Just everyone's just like pooling their ideas together, getting to know each other, which is great, developing great relationships, which this game does naturally. And you know how it is, Andrew. Like, you meet so many people, then you start, talking to them online and seeing how they're doing in their clubs, and like it's great. It's a great community. Crokinole has a great community. This fortunately for us, this a lot of people are coming to from around the states and around the world, and it's a big melting pot of ideas, and everyone gets excited. And it just provides great fortitude for competitive crokinole in general, especially in the United States.
Yeah, kind of along that note. So the first edition of this tournament was in 2019, and back then, I believe it was most of the teams were from your Extra Pint club locally, and there was a couple teams from Canada. I think a team from Houston and a couple teams from Boston. So maybe back then you were a bit. It was a bit ambitious to call it the US Open, but a few years later, and you've really earned that title of US Open. It really is gaining year after year, gaining more and more representation from across the country, and not just restricted to the US, but from Canada and so on. I guess what do you attribute this success? What do you attribute like the attraction that this specific tournament has created for this vast number of clubs?
I'm not sure. I don't know why anyone would come to hang out with a bunch of extra pint guys, but no, I think what it provides is it provides a sense of like community. We like to party, but we also like to play crokinole very seriously, somewhat seriously. It provides a space where everyone can come, have a chance to play in a high level tournament while also relaxing and visiting with people. We try to create different events throughout, like the it's turning into a weekend now that people just lay back, have fun, celebrate, just playing crokinole and other games on their days off. I think that's what we provide. We provide a, I don't want to, I think it's become it is a destination tournament, but we all there's also a lot of like other things that go on besides an amazing crokinole tournament. It's several other different things, opportunities for people to get together and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it's I think one thing that I really appreciate about it is you definitely make it worth the trip. It's not just kind of a day-long tournament. There is the tournament on the Saturday, which takes up to Saturday, but you also have the Friday night social, which is both informal but also has some planned elements to it. There, I know last year you even before that you had the disc golf in the Friday afternoon, and then there's a lot of informal kind of after. Before tournament, after tournament, whatever, crokinole going on. So it's not just an event where people come for the very beginning of the event and then or the tournament and then leave right when it's done. It really is a whole weekend, which makes it worth, in my opinion, the long travel, and I'm guessing that's at least one of the appeals for many people who are traveling from out of town. Yeah, it's great to have an opportunity not just to go for the specific tournament, but the social aspect, and all the elements that you add and include in the weekend.
Yeah, we that's what we every year now. This will be our fourth US Open, and every year the planning board, who is just amazing, and I, we always try to make some there's we always need to add some value to the tournament, add some something to do for our guests to do and to enjoy. So that's always fun to do. And we try to get we always have player packs for people that signed up that are usually a pint glass or some kind of drinking vessel with a lot of different like crokinole accessories and stuff. And we always have the jackpots. Like I think one year we did a we attempted to do a flip cup game. I don't think you were there for that, but like yeah, so it's just like we always try to give a little bit more each year. What we can, and the more, like again, we're very humbled on like who's signing up and where they're all coming from, and yeah, so it's that's all we try to do is just add value to the a crokinole experience, for sure.
Is there any, whether it be new or any feature that you would like to highlight at this point, or is it more of a surprise for the day of?
We got a great player pack this year. There's going to be great like whole survivor prizes for the night before. We're going to have great jackpots. There's no flip cup game this year. But I think like the optics of the tournament itself is going to look really cool, and really we're going to have some other elements besides, just the TV screen and the timer up there. We're gonna have like, we're gonna have some speakers up there. There's gonna be some nice like, not that that Not that when you're playing Crokinole, you'll be looking at it, but the venues, like the way we got it set up, is going to look real cool, and it's going to be a nice space to play Crokinole in. Yeah, and we're going in our one of our gold sponsors, Indian Ladder Farms, is for the finals. We're going up to their new venue, which is the Apple Barn, and
Okay.
that's a venue that it's that's brand new. Half of it is like their brewery, and like half of it is a almost like it's like a wedding venue, with these huge. It's a really nice spot that overlooks the Helderberg Mountains, and right next to that is their pizza garden, and their they have a nice bar out there, but it's set in a pro in on the property where it overlooks the Helderberg Escarpment, which is just beautiful. And yeah, they gave us that spot for the finals, so that's going to be really cool to be up there and playing in the finals. It's going to look super cool. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on, and it's a lot of moving parts too. So again, my planning board, if I could just mention our names: Ed Hampson, Dwight, Chet, Seth, Kurt, Lash, Magic, and Josh Malloy. Like, those guys are just amazing, and like there's so many moving parts to this thing too. Just they're just I'm very lucky to have those guys and the rest of my club.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds exciting. So getting into the actual competition, just want to do a quick little preview. So from the field, who do you see as some of the main contenders that we need to look out for on April 20th?
Well, you got the returning champions, right? You got the Beerlings. Those guys are just, everyone knows who the Beerlings are, right? And they know who what's gonna what they're bringing. There's and also I think you and Jeremy are a very high favorite to win, although it's not going to be easy. But I think you guys are definitely top five. Yeah, there's Ron Landrill's coming down as well. You got to look out for Magic and I as well. So I wouldn't there's some really good teams, and there's a couple teams I'm not sure about, but there's been a couple players that I just recently met, Ben Harding, from South Carolina. His partner Ben's a really great player, and I just went down to Ben's tournament. The Charleston Crokinole Club's tournament in earlier this month, and I met his partner Joe. Really strong player. Like, he's been playing for just like I think a little bit over a year or something, but got to meet him, and I think Ben and Joe are going to be a really tough team. Mark Ponzio's on fire lately with his partner Connor. They're going to be tough to beat. I mean, Andrew, really, like, I can't. I'm looking at like the roster right now. I can't really find a weak team that I know. There's a couple teams I don't. I'm not sure. I never played against. Or there's a couple individuals I haven't met before. But we'll see. It's gonna be crazy. We got the team Cheeky Buggers of Simon the Spider and Mark Boot. Those guys are always in the mix up there in Canada as well. I just played Brandon Osborne, and I met Bailey. I haven't played Bailey, but the Charm Queen City Crokinole Club founders, and Brandon is a really good is a very strong player. And yeah, so I mean, I'm excited. I'm just really excited to see everyone get into this, like, this I don't know, madness of that round robin it's going to be, and everyone's just going to see who gets a better seed, and then the elimination game start. It's going to be super intense, and I'm really excited for it. So I hope you are as well. And I don't know, there's just a lot there's a lot of great names I'm looking at right now up there from both Canada and the US and other.
Yeah, definitely. I think every year the competition gets tougher. One, because there's more teams out, but then also people have improved over the previous year. I think one team that I'm looking out for and could put a really good run together would be Aaron Lewis and Travis Keener. They both have done a lot of traveling to various NCAA tournaments this over the past year, and have yeah had have gained lots of experience. And so when they're if they're both on at the same time, that'll be definitely a scary team to meet in an elimination match also.
Nobody's safe at the US Open, like everybody has a chance as well. But yeah, Aaron Lewis and Travis Keene are absolutely two strong players, man. If they get their Aaron's a really good open 20, usually an open 20 shooter guru, you know what I mean? But if they're both on, it's tough.
With all of this being said, if you had to choose one team who you think's going to win, who are you going to say?
Irish Steel, Jay Malloy, and Magic Mike Mattei.
All right, I love the confidence.
That's even money on DraftKings, I think, if you look that
Okay.
up.
All right, I'll check the line later. Yeah, I love the confidence. Connor famously predicted his world champion last year, and you're predicting your US Open win this year. That's great. You guys were very close. You had a really close tough loss in the semis last year. So all it takes is a shot here and there, and you're in the finals, right? So yeah, that'll be a great to see if you guys can get back to, I guess, 2022 is when you made it to the finals. So see if you
Yeah.
get back and win it all. I'm sure there's a lot of people there rooting for you.
There, I hope, hopefully, yeah, hopefully there is. I have to set the record straight here too. I believe the last time I was on your podcast, you asked me like what was my one of my best accomplishments in competitive crokinoles thus far. And I said something like, making the A pool in Elmira. This is last year. And I don't know why I didn't say this, but my absolute like best accomplishment so far in competitive crokinole with my partner Magic Mike is beating Ray and Jay Beerling in the semifinals in the 2022 US Open. Absolutely. Like that was I can't believe I didn't mention that before, but like so much respect to Ray and Jay. That was like I couldn't I even you know it was I couldn't believe we beat them, to be honest with you, but we played well enough to get ahead of them, and we just held them off just enough. So that's just to set the record straight.
Yeah, there's only a select few doubles teams out there who have beat them in an elimination match. So yeah, it's you're in a great company with that. It's a great accomplishment. So can you tell me about the format? What should people be looking forward to? Is it going to be another single elimination in the afternoon? That always adds the interest and pressure to the tournament.
Yeah, so we're gonna start off with a really. By the way, all this information for people that are listening to this that are in the tournament or anybody else, it can be found on extrapintcrokinoleclub.com. Again, I'm shouting out Josh Malloy, my brother. He does an amazing job with that website. Everything that you need to know that I'm gonna be referencing is on there. But yeah, so the round robin is we're gonna have three pools of 14. Okay, to start off the day. So you're gonna be playing 13 round robin matches. And it's gonna be really intense. We're gonna, play in a couple of breaks here and there, but we're gonna be starting a little bit earlier that this year. After round robin, we're gonna break for lunch, and then we're gonna come back to a bracket that my brother Josh has been it's developing. It's sort of a double elimination, but not really. So it was like last year, basically. But so if you win, you start off and you win to the semifinals, or if you lose before the semifinals, you're playing back to fifth place. You don't have a chance to get back into first through fourth place. You're going to play back to ultimately win fifth place. Like, that's your goal after, if you lose before the semifinals. And if you make it to the semifinals, you're guaranteed fourth place. That's what you're guaranteed. But there's a lot of teams involved. Yeah, and you're gonna there's gonna you're not once you lose once in the afternoon, you're still gonna play at least one more time, possibly two or three more times, just to get. And we're trying to get teams that finished, I believe it's like half the field, that we want to see who comes in what place exactly. So you might be playing several matches in the afternoon, even if you lose once or twice.
Yeah, it's a great way to kind of keep people playing, but then also add that high level stakes of each match. If you do want to win the championship, you can't afford a loss. But if you do end up losing, you still have a chance to kind of keep on competing. So yeah, it's a great balance, I find. So yeah, that's great that you're having that. And I believe you're live streaming the pool draw. Is that correct?
Yeah, so on April 11th at 8 p.m. on our Facebook page, possibly our YouTube channel, Extra Pint Crokinole Club, we're going to be live streaming the live pool draw, which we see who we have a bunch of names that are put onto all the team names are put onto the ping pong balls, and you're drawn out to see which pool you're going to be in the round robin. Now, this is special. This year, one of our co-sponsors, CrokinoleDepot.com. They are sponsoring two teams. If we're gonna have a random draw before even that starts, and they're paying for two teams' entry fee this year. So I think that's pretty incredible to help with people that are might be traveling, or just to take care of their entrance fee is great, and we really appreciate them, being a part of the US Open and doing that for people. But yeah, so 4:11, 8 p.m. You're going to see who is in which pool for the round robin. It's separate into ales, lagers, and ciders. We have names for them. Yeah, and also what's going on that day too, that no one's going to see on the live stream, but the Extra Pint Crokinole Club is celebrating the can release of the beer that Indian Ladder Farms brews for our tournament. It's the official beer of the U.S. Open. It has our U.S. Open emblem on it. It's called Crokinole Vienna Lager, and they're releasing a can that day. And then the club's going to be over there to help with their guests that are coming in for the beer release, and we're going to be teaching them how to play Crokinole and all other sorts of fun. But yeah, and just not 100% on this, but there could be an added value to winning the tournament. As everyone's might be seeing, what there's a piece of art that might be on this can that people are going to be interested in, just to give a little heads up.
Nice. I like the teaser. That's great. Are there any other
Yeah.
surprise? We had a little surprise with the fifth place trophy that I forget who won last year, but yeah, is there any I'm guessing
Yeah.
another one of those up for grabs?
Yes, there will be a fifth place prize. that is being taken care of from Seth from bowling.
Of course.
Yeah. And I was he was involved solely for the first one, and then later on in the year, in no this November, we were in the Ontario doubles tournament, and we made another one, and I was more involved with that imagery in there. And but this for this US Open, I try to put my input in, and Seth from bowling told me basically no, that he's got this one. So I don't know if I damage his rep with the other fifth place prize, but no, there will be a fifth place prize. That is priceless, right, Andrew? I mean, what can you say about fifth place prizes? Do you know anything about them?
I might know a thing or two, unfortunately, but we'll try to stop that trend
Now, hold
for
on. Now, wait. Now, if you got fifth place out of 42 teams, you wouldn't be somewhat okay with that, even though you're out of the money or whatever. But like, come on. I mean, I would be happy.
It's an accomplishment, yeah. I hope it's an accomplishment that's another team experiences this year. Let's just put it that way.
So, I mean, just real quick, I mentioned me trying to get involved into the imagery or the artistic whatever of this current one here. I was like gonna ask you for your likeness rights or your permission to put you out there, like be a part of this one. And then Seth told me no. So what would you said if I said, "Hey, Andrew, do you mind if we use your likeness or image for this fifth place prize?" What
I
would have happened? It's not happening.
you're putting me on the spot. I we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, if we ever come to it,
Right.
maybe.
I don't think we'll ever come the way because
All
Seth basically told me to go away. So.
right. Is there anything else about the tournament you'd like to share?
No, I will be sending out emails to all the teams and participants. We're gonna need folks to let us know if they're gonna make the meet and greet because we have meals that are gonna be provided for them. And you'll be seeing an email from me. I also need to see who's gonna be playing disc golf, all that stuff, but that'll be in the email. What I really want to do is thank our sponsors, our main sponsor, Tracy Boards, Crokinole. ILF and excuse me, the American Legion and all the other our co sponsors as well, Crokinole Depot, Brown Castle, the Lanson Laser Engraving. Those guys, I mean, everybody contributing to it is what makes the US Open happen. So thank you to all of them as well.
That's great. Thanks so much for joining me today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me on.
As many of you know, the National Crokinole Association recently announced a change to the tour structure. For the first 10 to 12 years of the NCA, the structure was very similar with only minor tweaks. And with the formalization of the National Crokinole Association with a formal board and committees, this past year we have we made the move to try to make a change to the tour structure that would allow more tournaments to participate if those tournaments desired to. So I'm not going to go into too many details on that. There is a video interview that myself, Connor Reinman, who is the chair of the competition committee, and Jeremy Tracy, who is a board member and the chair of the promotions committee, did to kind of go through the high-end level of those changes and provide a little bit of our philosophy for making those changes. So I am going to include a link to that video for anybody who hasn't seen it and is interested in this topic. Yeah, I just briefly say that as the video I hope gets across is this is kind of a first step that the NCAA is taking. And yeah, there's the competition committee each year will review the tour structure and the supporting documents and the details and will adjust as necessary. So it's this next year will definitely be a learning process. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the fact that more and more tournaments will have an opportunity again if they choose. Nobody's forcing anybody to apply to become to have their tournament NCAA sanctioned. It's an option. It's not a requirement, obviously. So, but for those who are interested in having their tournament a part of the NCAA, I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about what the board will learn over this first season, and also. yeah, the what adaptations or changes that the competition committee might make after the first season, or so I again don't have too much more to say about that because I have talked a lot about it in the YouTube video on the Tracy Boards YouTube channel. But again, if you haven't had a chance to watch that and you're interested in this type of thing, I encourage you to watch. The link will be in the description of this podcast, as well as a link to the National Crokinole Association website, which has the specific documents. So yeah, take a look at that if that's something that is of interest to you. Finally, I just want to take a quick look at the Crokinole UK Tour standings as they had their Aircon tournament a week or two ago. And so they've now had four of their six tournaments in their inaugural season take place already. And so just go through the results and standings quickly. Just as a reminder, the Crokinole UK Tour standings will take the top three results for each player and as their final tour score. A number of the top players have had at least three tournaments to this point, and there's a few others who haven't reached that third, and with one more tournament, it'll obviously affect their placement. So right now, in the first place is Tom Curry. He won the Aircon tournament. He also had won the tournament back in Wales in the fall, and he has a total of 141 points out of a possible 150 points. Next is Mark Turling with 120 points. In third place, with a couple strong results in Scotland, and then second place in Aircon also is Steve Burrows with 117 points. Rounding out the top five are Joe Tagaltea. I really apologize for butchering your name, Joe. And then Mike with 113 points, and then Mike Ray with 106 points. Both of those competitors were not able to make the Scotland tournament, but have made the three ones following that. The other name of note to me, at least, is Brian Cook is eighth. He has 91 points, but again, he has only participated in two tournaments. So if he participates in another one, if he then he will jump right up into the standings. A victory of 50 points would put him at a tie with Tom Curry with 141. But obviously he needs to participate and then also achieve that victory to make that happen. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over in the UK. In an undoubtedly successful first tour, there is two more events in this tour. There's the Crokinole UK Masters and then the UK Crokinole Championship. I believe the UK Crokinole Championship is on the first Saturday in June, the same date as the World Crokinole Championship. So yeah, it'll be fascinating to see who takes away becomes the first Crokinole UK tour. So I'll try to provide an update about that as those last couple tournaments take place. Thank you for joining me on the Pink Shirt Pod. I'm hoping my next episode will include a mailbag section, so if you have any questions or topics for me to discuss, feel free to email me at pinkshirtpod@gmail.com. Thanks to Jason Malloy for meeting with me to discuss the US Open and to the whole organizing committee he has that makes that awesome tournament a reality. Thanks to my wife Jen for creating the thumbnail art for this podcast, and thanks as always to Grant Flick for the music entitled Crokinole that he composed and performed. Until next time, keep on flicking.